Welcome to Race Against the Machine. This special episode is actually part two, so you want to go back and catch part one before you start playing this one, okay? Because we're just going to jump right back into where we left off. Later.
Tell them who the fuck I've been.
You know the time, yo. It's Y-N. It's Soldier.
Tell them who the fuck I've been.
And it go like, I said it go like.
You know, the people in West Papua New Guinea getting totally brutalized by Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden people care because like four white drug dealers are going to get killed in Indonesia.
Sure, sure.
I just think about stuff like that. Like the Stanford swimmer guy.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that would have been the trigger for this movement.
Sure.
Rather than the Harvey Weinstein.
Right.
Episode.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Something's wrong with us.
Yeah.
We don't hear shit.
Hmm.
It happens. We don't really get it on purpose. And then when it's like okay to get it, when somehow we're permitted, then we get it and we're outraged. And we act like we were not complicit in all that bullshit before.
I don't know what the equation is, but clearly there is one. There's a point at which we decide we're going to give a fuck. While it clearly concerns who it's happening to or who it involves, it still has to come down on what did they do. Something about the equation involves what they do, not just what they are. You know? Because being a woman is not enough. And being Harvey Weinstein, you know, or being a horrible man is not enough.
Right.
The issue is it's on us as a people. It's on us as a society. We have to be making, you know, more consistent, better decisions as these things come to light.
See, I think we live in a society that for so long, its main method for staying functional is for everybody to have blinders on.
Hmm. True.
And so that becomes socially normative behavior to, like, if somebody brings up something too uncomfortable and too disruptive, we just pretend like it's not there. And then when it hits that snowball moment where it's going to flood, it's going to be the avalanche, and it's going to be undeniable.
Yeah.
Then everybody jumps on and pretends like they weren't one of those people.
Right.
And says, oh, if we'd have known.
Yeah.
And then everybody is cleansed from having to feel guilty. So it just becomes an exercise in, like, it's like a way of getting rid of your guilt.
Mm-hmm.
That's what your outrage is doing, you know? Because nobody raised an eyebrow when, like, Simone Biles went on TV and said, yeah, it was a hard decision when I was fucking 13 or whatever. My family had decided to, like, give me away to these people.
Yeah.
And everybody's just like, oh, good for you. And so now we have to pretend like we're so outraged because we didn't fucking care to really look at that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then we don't have to examine all the shit that we're complicit in.
Let's drag this back to the original kind of idea at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
Is there a reason to hope in light of that? Like, are we getting better at this?
No.
No.
Okay. I don't think so.
No?
No.
I don't know.
I don't know, man.
I mean, a part of me looks at it like, okay, we missed a bunch of opportunities. Let's say pick an issue. We've missed a bunch of opportunities on this issue, but we got it right this time. And now we have the tools that we didn't have before to kind of blow that up, at least for a little while. And so then the next time, because eventually it will die out.
Yeah.
It will normalize or level off, or it will do something that will stop it from being a priority, right? At some point, Oprah is not going to be coming out and doing Time's Up speeches.
Right.
Right. At some point, she's just going to go back to talking about fucking Weight Watchers and bread or whatever. All right. And so, at what point, like, you know, and then, like, the next time, will we be having this conversation or will it be a slightly less vociferous version of this conversation because there was movement before? And is that a reason to hope?
I don't think so, because what Iceland did is they legislated equal pay.
Hmm.
Because the people said, oh, yeah, we're going to have a feminist wave as well here, you know, like it led to an actual wave of action, but because people are civically minded and in a very basic way politically active, their leaders, who their representatives, who are probably just as amoral as ours, knew that in order to keep their asses in office, they had to do something real. And what they did is they legislated equal pay and made it so that if you were accused of breaking that law, the burden of proof is on you as a corporation.
Okay.
That's a legitimate step. You know, that's trying to that's translating something into something measurable. Having your dialogue be at a certain place, and the next time it happens, your dialogue is in this slightly more advanced place. That's all an excuse for keeping things exactly the way they fucking are.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm sure next time we talk about police brutality, we'll have a more advanced conversation about it.
You know?
If I give a fuck.
That is a perfect example of how not to do this.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Or school shootings.
Yeah.
That's a perfect example of how not to do this.
Yeah.
Right? Because at this point, it's like school shooting. Mm-hmm. Like, that didn't even last a day.
Yep.
Two people died. Didn't even last a day. Sad, man.
So for me, I don't think... Like, I had a buddy, you know, when he was freaking out over, like, the state of things and the election and everything.
Mm-hmm. Keep talking.
And he was worried, right? And he's like, oh, man, I don't know. Like, am I going to have to actually throw down for my society and my country and, like, actually take a legitimate stand, you know, against tyranny, against...
Okay.
And I was like, nah, man. I was like, just move. You know what I mean?
That's a really lonely fight you're involved
in. It's not worth it. Mm. Like, you're going to throw yourself on the pikes to save this country for who?
Mm.
A bunch of people that do this. Society that lets 200 teenage girls be the victim of one person and multiple people knew.
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
That's the one we found out about.
Right, right, right.
You know?
Right.
You got judges selling juvenile convicts to for-profit systems. Everybody involved in that probably knows. The DA probably knows. People bringing in the cases know. The cops know.
Yeah.
And then whenever that next thing hits the light, everybody will go, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. I just don't know what you would be sacrificing your energy for. Like, who?
Yeah.
Like, unless you're going to, like, try to run some kind of modern day railroad to take, like, the lowest people of this society and find a way to pipeline them out of this society. If that's not your effort.
Yeah, yeah.
I really don't know what it is you're hoping for to happen here.
Right, right. Yeah, well, that's depressing.
At least we've been able to maintain that structure of the show.
That's right, baby.
I mean, am I wrong? If I'm wrong, tell me. I want to be wrong. You know?
I mean, I can't, nor do I really desire to prove you wrong.
I would prefer to be wrong, Scott.
Sure. Look, Donald Trump is your president. To me, that is the end of, like, 50% of every discussion.
Life just got so much simpler.
So much simpler, man. Yeah. Like, half of the conversations I've had about anything in the last year have ended in that. Like, I just whipped that out. At some point, I realized we've been talking for about 3 minutes, and I go, hey, you know what? Donald Trump's your president. Do we need to keep talking about, I don't know, the Dakota pipeline? What do we want to talk about?
Right.
What do you really want to talk about, you know, in light of Donald Trump being your president?
Right.
And all of the things that come with that.
Right. and people, I love how he'll tell, like, some really, really obvious lie.
Mm-hmm.
That for him is just, he's just announcing an intention.
Yeah, right, right.
Like, 3 million people voted illegally. What he's letting you know is that he's going to try to disenfranchise 3 million people before the next election. Like, that's what he does. Like, that's the purpose his lies are serving.
Right.
He's announcing an intention.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's like, these so-called smart people are spending a year proving empirically that he lied.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay. Like,
whatever, man.
Like, who's the dumb one?
Whatever. Right, right.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. America, I think we had our day, man. I think, you know, people talk about America living up, is it's going to live up to its promise? Mm-hmm. This is its promise. We're spoiled mm-hmm. with our vision of America. Mm-hmm. Because whoever you want to point to, but, you know, the Thurgood Marshall Court, you know, SNCC, Martin Luther King, whatever. Like, that era, there were a lot of things legislative that actually were progressive. Mm-hmm. Even if some of them were kind of fucked up.
Sure.
In ways, like, there was progress being legislated. Mm-hmm. And there was, like, actual, like, sort of egalitarian ideals working into the fabric of society.
Okay.
Not just rhetoric. But that's not the promise of America. That's a reinvention of the promise of America that happened in that brief period of time.
Yeah.
The promise of America is so that our children and our grandchildren, that's what was written on the document. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And this is the this is that promise.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think we grew up in an aberration. And so we're like, this isn't my America. And you're like, It might be, man. It might be your America. Like, the other one might not actually be.
Right.
The real America, you know? I don't know. I don't think there's any coming back from this. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'll vote for The Rock. You know? I'll vote for him. And fucking Putin played the shit out of us.
Hmm.
I mean, American hubris. We should not be proud anymore after this, at least. At least this should fix that.
Right.
Because you remember they busted, like, all those Russian spies?
Yeah.
And everyone was just laughing our ass off of Putin. Cold War is over, motherfucker. He's got people living here for 15 years. Mm-hmm. 20, 30 years. And they weren't even trying to sabotage anything.
Right.
What were they doing? They were learning about you. That's what they were doing. They were watching. They were immersing themselves in our culture.
Right.
So they could say, this is what's going to work on these dumb ass motherfuckers.
Yeah. It's funny because I used to watch that show, The Americans.
Yeah, I never checked it out yet.
Well, I mean, that's pretty much the premise, right?
Yeah.
Except, so like, here's where The Americans is your theory, and then here's where it jumps off. Uh-huh. So then The Americans, right, these trained Russian spies come over, and they're a couple, right? Uh-huh. They pretend to be a couple. And blah, blah, blah. And they have kids. And a lie. And they're just like here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And, but then every once in, you know, in a while, like, you know, once a week or whatever, when it's time to put on the episode, they get a call. And we need you to go assassinate this person. Or we need you to go, you know, plant this evidence. Or da, 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 da.
Get these submarine codes.
Yeah. And it's just like, yeah, no. Really, the reality really is, like, we just need you to kind of figure out what the fuck is happening.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll figure out what to do with that information later, you know, but, you know, just kind of figure it out. What's happening in America, you know? And so it's funny. I didn't know this shit was a documentary, you know?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Now that's chess.
Russia? Yeah, man.
That's chess.
Yeah, they played the shit out of us. And it's so funny because it's like now we're all like, you know, it's like it's so obvious that they did it.
Right.
And it's so obvious we're not going to do anything about it. You know what I'm saying? It's like we didn't even equipped to do anything about it.
Yeah. What you going to do?
Yeah.
Change Facebook?
Mark Zuckerberg's going to run for president, man.
Yeah.
He's going to run for president.
I'm excited.
That's the answer. Because that's the answer.
Yeah, that's obviously the answer. You'd have to be an independent candidate, right?
Oh, man.
The Rock can run on the Democratic ticket. He can run independent.
He can just do what Bernie did. He can just be a fake Democrat.
A fake Democrat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. Democrat enough.
It wouldn't matter. I mean.
Nah. But at this point, you know, look, this country would vote for anybody.
Would you vote for Mark Zuckerberg? Okay. Let's say he runs and he wins the Democratic nomination.
Okay, let us say that.
If when that
you
happens.
You pretty much just talked into existence just by saying that, but go ahead. When that happens, you mean.
You going to vote for him against Trump?
Here's my thing. I haven't decided if I'm going to vote again for the foreseeable future.
Okay.
Like, I'm really just kind of like, what is the fucking point? So I can win an argument?
No, man, the flashlight or the mace.
Nah, man, I'm done with that, man. Done with that.
Yeah.
I think so. I feel like it's just a fucking waste, man. 3 million votes, man. 3 million votes.
Yeah, but all you need to do is win by 10,000 in the right states.
I don't want to hear that and anymore. You man. Heard.
Well, but, I mean, I don't know, man. I hear what you're saying. But these states are steady scrubbing people off the poll, off their rosters.
Sure. Okay.
So it's not really.
So me voting fixes what? Me voting for Mark Zuckerberg fixes what? 3 years. People are just not figuring out how to spell gerrymandering. Okay. NPR is on there talking about gerrymandering and shit like no one ever heard of it.
And this is like,
hey, everybody. And this is NPR.
This is what gets frustrating. I remember.
I was listening to a show the other day. She's all like talking to me. So gerrymandering is the process of drawing lines on the map. What does it mean? And I'm just like, holy shit. This where we gonna start? Really? This how far back we got? Y'all ain't ready for 2020. I ain't voting in 2020, man. Fuck that shit. I'll catch y'all 24. See where y'all at on the gerrymandering spelling. Y'all ain't ready for
votes. I'm going to be driving a bus that says Zuckerberg on it. And I'm going to come honk on your front lawn, try to pick you up and talk you into going. No, I mean, that's the thing is like, is there a point where even my more basic arguments just don't hold up and it's just legitimate to opt out of the system? I mean, I think we're fast approaching that point. I mean, I will still show up for, like, and vote for the Chuck Schumers of the world, you know, as useless as they are. Just because they're useless and they're, you know, they're not going to make anything better.
Well, there's a stump.
But they're not actively trying to kill me. You know what I mean? They're not like trying to create a society where people are trying to eat my children. You know what I mean? So
are you telling me that that's, I mean, all right, I hear you.
If all it does is slow down the speed of they're the bus racing okay, for the
wait.
Cliff.
Okay, wait. So Chuck Schumer and company, they're there now.
Yeah.
You're telling me they're unable to affect change because there are not enough of them? Is that the problem?
I mean, no, they're completely useless people. Mm-hmm. They're bad at what they do.
Yeah.
They're awful.
Yeah.
They're useless.
Yeah.
But if they were the majority party,
uh-huh.
We would just have this kind of barely functioning group of people running things.
Like we had.
But it would be
4 years ago.
Yeah, but it would be administratively sound, right? Like, you would still be able to, like, go to the national parks without seeing oil wells in them. Or, like, a public school would still exist.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to fix any problems, but they're not, like, aggressively suicidal. All
right.
You know what I mean?
So you want me to keep going to vote, is what you're saying.
It's not hard to do. You go up there. Even you can do an all party, just go up there and pull the lever for D and leave.
Okay, you know? No, I'm going to tell you something about Brady. Because it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there.
Why?
Because people want to keep talking about it.
You don't have to talk about it.
No, I can't help it. People just roll up on you everywhere you go. And
just lie.
First thing out of their mouths is just like, oh, you are. No, lie about what? They vote the same way I vote.
Say you don't vote.
Say I don't vote. That's the other conversation you don't want to have. Oh, you don't vote. You don't vote? Oh, you're part of the problem. Really, I'm part of the problem? I didn't vote, and I'm part of the problem? Shit. Vote for what? I know what you're saying, man.
No.
I'm not that obtuse. I know what you're saying.
No, I know what you're saying, too. I mean, if it's Mark Zuckerberg against Donald Trump, I will have a hard time making it out.
I think that would be the lowest turnout of election.
I will
ever.
Be dragging.
Except for like the first one.
Yeah.
Like the lowest turnout ever.
Because it's like basically you're saying
to the world.
Which kind of totalitarianism do I prefer? You know, but my thing on voting is it's not activism, you know? It's not.
What is it?
It's just like...
part of being a functioning citizen?
It's just like putting your money in a machine and pressing a button. It's a really simple act. It doesn't require a whole lot of get up and, you know what I mean? You know, clock out for lunch, you go press a couple buttons, you go back. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all the stuff we put around it that exhausts people.
Okay.
Like, I gotta watch this whole election season, and then I gotta watch this whole other election season, and then we gotta watch the results, and I gotta root and get invested. If you strip yourself of all that, and you just say, at this point, it's pretty clear that this one party is completely, like, just, they want to come to your house and kill you.
Yeah.
So I can just show up and...
they practically ran on that platform.
Yeah.
And then it turns out it's actually pretty close to the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can just, I don't have to follow anymore. I don't have to do all that exhausting shit. I don't have to root for somebody. All I can do is, you tell me when election day is, I'm going to go there and press D a bunch of times, and then I'm going to go home.
You know, I think that this last election probably set us up for that real sweet. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I don't think people are ready to just stop wholesale voting. Maybe they are.
Yeah.
Certainly a segment of people will be, but that's always true.
Yeah.
But I think that people are definitely kind of, it'll be real interesting to see what the coverage is like when it's time, you know, another year and a half from now. And all the people who got it wrong last time come back and try to convince us they're going to get it right this time, you know?
And I just, you know, politicians use, they hire marketing strategists.
Yeah.
So the people that make, like, Pepsi commercials
right.
run campaigns.
Right.
And everybody uses that as, like, an indictment on politicians. I think it's an indictment on voters.
Absolutely.
That shit doesn't have to work on you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But it does.
It does. We're fucking done, man.
I'm telling you, man.
And you want me to keep doing it.
That's why Harriet Tubman kept going. You know what I mean? She ran away. She's like, all right, I'm in the north. And then she was like, no, I think I'm going to go a little further north. I think I need to keep it moving.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man.
It's not north enough.
I think.
The gourd says Toronto.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. I'm exiting through Sandusky. There's an island in the middle of that lake that's Canada.
Wow.
So.
Well, you know, let's start wrapping it up, man. This shit is ridiculous. This fucking country is doomed. Doomed.
And that's the
thing. Your best case scenario is that we go and vote with our eyes closed. That's your best case scenario.
I mean, there's people out there who have hope.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if, let me put it like this. Okay. This is always my like reverse reality thing to people who say there's not enough difference between the two parties or voting doesn't really Okay. Imagine if the two elections in our lifetime that have been stolen were not stolen.
Okay.
Presidential elections.
Sure.
And it had gone
Gore.
Clinton, Gore, Obama, Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Me and you would be sitting here complaining to high hell right now about how fucking racist Hillary Clinton is. We'd be doing, you know, cloudy. We'd still be have cloudy racism. You know what I mean?
I missed that segment.
And we would just be, we'd be thoroughly dissatisfied.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But there's no way you can tell me that American life would not be exponentially better right now.
No, I can't make that case.
It would be a lot better.
Can't debate that.
And Gore is shit. And Clinton is the fucking devil.
Yeah.
But it would be exponentially better right now. And none of them would be helping us, mm-hmm. right? Black people would still be up a fucking against it.
Yes.
But there would be enough space to where the people out there with hope might be able to put some shit together to actually help some things make concrete improvements.
Yeah. Hey, did you see this real quick? Did you see that David Letterman thing with Obama?
No, I didn't watch it yet.
Don't bother.
I heard they just both complimented each other and then closed the show out.
Even worse. Like, that would have been okay. Like, yeah. You know, that would have at least been nostalgic, right?
Yeah.
But, like, apparently David Letterman, you know, watched Eyes on the Prize or something. And so he, like, he just has, like, this comment, what appears to be just, like, a comment to Obama, like, well, you know John Lewis and da-da-da. And the next thing I know, we're transporting to fucking Selma, and he's crossing the bridge with John Lewis talking about what it was like to walk the bridge. And I'm like...
Who is?
David Letterman.
Oh, wow.
There's a whole segment in the segment, right? It's not just two guys talking on stage no more. Now it's a documentary about the fucking Selma March. And he's all, like, asking John Lewis what it was like.
David Letterman is?
David Letterman. I'm like, what is happening right now? You know?
Somebody's got to ask John Lewis what it was like. I'm sure that...
why don't you read one of his three comic books about it or whatever? You know, come on, man. Like, who is this show for?
David Letterman.
You know what? You may be right. Because at the very end of the show, there's a moment when shit got deep.
Uh-huh.
It's really the only moment.
Uh-huh.
And they're really trying to wrap it up. And David is like, Obama asked him a question. I don't even remember what it was. And David started talking about how, like, he was like, you know what was happening when the march in Selma was going on? I think he said he was like 19, 20, whatever he was. I was with a bunch of my friends. We were on a boat going out of the Keys in Florida or some shit, and we were partying. That's what I was doing. How could I not know about the march in Selma? How, you know, he was like admonishing himself.
Yeah.
How could I? He was like, you're right, crying shit. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was a pretty deep moment, but I'm just like, is that what this is about?
Yeah.
Ugh. Come on.
I mean,
how are you going to waste an Obama appearance? You know what I'm saying?
No. Well,
or is that the only Obama we're going to get moving forward?
Okay, hold on a second.
Oh, here it comes.
If David Letterman is the white liberal.
Yes.
Obama was and is selling indulgences.
Oh!
I mean, the white liberal voting for Obama is exactly that David Letterman moment. How could I have been so blind? Forgive me, Obama. I will vote for you. Yeah. Black people, I'm not racist. Woohoo! Black president. I mean, that's... I may have been partying in the Keys during Selma, but I voted for Obama.
Yeah, that's exactly what it felt like, man.
Yeah. So that's... It's right. Garbage. It's perfectly in line with what that's all about.
Garbage. Total garbage.
Did you see the Def Comedy Jam 25th anniversary show?
I did.
Dave Chappelle was finally funny.
I was going to say, only thing we need to talk about it is that 6 minute when Dave Chappelle was fucking killing.
Finally.
What do you mean finally?
Well, I didn't.
You're not a fan.
Dig his Netflix shit, most recent.
Okay.
I wasn't thoroughly impressed with
did
those.
Did you see the new Netflix shit that he did?
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I mean, his old shit. Yeah.
But the ones that just came out like 3 months.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, gotcha.
I was like, I don't know, man. But
yeah.
On that, I was dying.
Hey, man.
Jesse, say something that'll make white people feel really bad for 15 years. Oh, my God.
Yeah, man, he was really working the room.
I loved it.
Working that room.
I loved that.
That was great. But, you know, and it was interesting, too, was like, I don't know how many times Dave Chappelle ends up in front of a black audience anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah. So that's a whole other set of jokes, a whole other rhythm, everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So.
That was good to see.
It was.
That was good.
He's got those two specials now. I thought the one was okay, kind of. You know, him and the trans thing, man, is still kind of like, he's still sketchy on that. But like,
he's trying too hard, man.
But that other set, that the bird, whatever, that set, you know, the more intimate nightclub he set.
That was weird.
They shouldn't have put that out.
Yeah, it seemed like workshopping.
It was. And I've seen like video of Dave like holding court for like 2 hours in a club. Mm-hmm. And it's, I mean, it's even looser than that. You know what I'm saying? It's almost not jokes at all. Yeah. It's just talking. And he can get away with that. You know, he's a genius, so he can get away with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, he probably shouldn't have put that out. Like, that's not helping your cause.
I don't know, man.
I mean, he don't give a fuck. He's so rich, it don't matter.
He doesn't care.
He's completely impervious. He ain't got no Twitter. He don't give a fuck. You know? Somebody gotta tell him when there's a problem.
Yeah.
So he's cool, but yeah.
I think it didn't work. And then there was something he was trying to do that sort of transcended the fact that it didn't work. But I don't think he accomplished that either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, that was a drag.
The new Cat Williams sucks.
Does it?
It's horrible.
I have, like...
No, it's just not funny.
I have a complicated relationship with Cat Williams.
Yeah, I think everybody does.
You could print his shit out. It's not like... It's not like everybody else's, I don't think. I get anxiety when I just watch him perform. Like, I can't handle it. He's sweating.
Yeah.
He's in that hot shit, and he's like, his energy, it just gives me anxiety.
Yeah.
And then I can't tell if he's funny. But if you like, print out a transcript of his stand up, I'll laugh my ass off. You know what I mean?
Not this new one.
Yeah.
Yeah, this shit is flat, man. This shit is flat.
That's too bad. Who should I check out? Who's the new stand up person?
Black?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I hate black comedians. Well, that's a strong word.
Oof.
I know. Let me retract that shit.
God damn.
Okay, well, now I gotta qualify that shit. Like, okay, I don't hate them. They're just not funny to me. By and large, they're not funny. That's a rule. Yeah, it's like horror movies. 95% of them are shit. And you're just kind of watching to see if you got a good one. But for the most part, it's the same jokes, the same topics, the same rhythms. They're still in old jokes because, you know, people don't follow comedy. I follow comedy, so I know when you're using a Red Fox joke. I know when you, you know, everybody's smart enough not to use a prior joke now. But, you know, look, motherfucker, I got 15 Red Fox records in the basement. I know when you're stealing, you know, so come on, man. You know, a lot of it is just flat. Now, I will say that I did like the D. Ray Davis one against my better judgment. Like, at first, I wasn't sure where he was going with it. I thought he was going to be typical. And then, but his characterization and his body and all that, everything was, all of that was really popping. And I was like, this dude's got mad energy. I like his energy. His politics are a little fucked up, but I like his energy, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the thing, too. It's like so many black comedians, man, their politics are so fucked up or macho or just...
Yeah, I was trying to
figure out. And there's like no fucking women. You know what I'm saying?
So, is D.L. Hewley sexist? I have that right,
I don't watch enough of him to know.
His radio show comes out.
I don't fuck with the radio shows, man.
Sometimes I'm like, wait, do we like him or do we not like him? He be saying some shit that nobody seems to want to bring up, and they want to bring it up when everybody else does. It's weird to me.
Yeah. He be getting the pass because he be going political with the shit.
Yeah.
And his political stuff is, you know,
it's usually pretty,
it's safe, solid. You know what I'm saying? Because it's real easy to be right about politics because politics is so fucked up. But so, you know, if you're halfway decent on politics, you can get away with that.
I heard him on the radio talking some shit about like women who don't take their husband's name when they get married and how he already knows what your relationship's gonna be like. I was like, is this the woke one?
Like, it is. Him and Dave Chappelle are the woke ones.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we're doomed. I don't even know when the show's going to end. We just keep adding shit to it.
Might as well.
We
can chop it up and just release it over the year. People think the show's back.
There you go. We're back. We recorded it all in one night. Yeah. How was black people's year of Trump? Better, worse, same? I'm going to lead on this one.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I think we broke even. I think it was pretty much the same so far. Only because they really haven't gotten us yet. Like, most of the issues that they've been fucking with have not really been, like, hitting on, like, daily black people's lives. You know, they're worried about big business, they're worried about
some education,
foreign policy. Well, I mean, mean, but that stuff really hasn't even taken effect yet. So, yeah. Like, now in another year, different conversation. But this, you know, this, like, the first 6 months was just, like, trying to figure out who to put in what, you know?
Yeah.
So they haven't even really had a chance to, like, affect policies that are really hitting us, you know? Like, across the board.
Yeah. I think...
there's been no movement on police. There's been... and there's not going to be any. Except, you know, more.
Mm-hmm.
There are more black politicians now. But, I mean, they're largely Democrats, so it doesn't matter. Like, at the national level, they're still largely kind of muted, right? They don't have any power at the national level.
Yeah.
State and all that, maybe, but not at the national level. It's still mostly just representative. So that really hasn't changed for us, except in the numbers. Jobs, education, health, all of that shit's still kind of the same.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference is just...
and our issues have completely fallen off the radar.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
I think it's the dread.
The dread?
There's a lot of dread settling this year, you know, versus before.
Well,
I think, you know, everybody knows what it's coming.
Basically. This has definitely been the year of white people's issues, you know. It's just like we were just running the radar for a while there, but
yeah,
Trump just erased all of that. Just the election erased that.
Yeah, I think that's what the election was about.
Yeah, and then, like, yeah. Us trying to, like, infuse the election with our issues was not... all that did was hurt Democrats. It didn't hurt Republicans. They didn't give a fuck.
So what's, like, what are we going to look at a year from now? What's going to be happening?
Well, we know that education will be fucked. Funding for it will be tore up. The standards, all the standards will be horrible. That may be the biggest impact on the black community in the coming year, is education. Which is already horrible.
For black people.
Horrible.
Yeah.
You know, the schools are just, it's just horrible. And it's just going to be worse, I think, once they get off the issues that they're on now. Like, immigration will not be the issue it is now in a year.
Right.
Right? Like, that might not be the issue in 6 months.
Right.
3 months. That might be a completely different issue in 3 months. That might be back off the table in 3 months.
ICE is, like, scary.
Yeah.
But surrounding a high school and shit.
Yeah.
I mean...
yeah. They're out of control.
Asking for people's proof of citizenship when they're stepping off a domestic flight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, ICE is out of control.
I mean, they're breaking the law.
Yeah. I'm really trying to think of an issue bigger than education or equal to education that it will impact black people on the same scale in the next year.
Civil forfeiture. Sessions.
You think?
I don't know about scale.
I don't know if he's going to be in a position, right? I don't think he's going to have that job a year from now.
But who are they going to put in his place, even?
I don't know. Somebody better and more shifty, I'm sure.
But I mean, like...
they do kind of upgrade these guys as they reinsert them.
Like, Obama saved criminal justice reform for last, right?
Hmm.
You know, we got that stuff on the books, but it didn't really get a chance to get implemented.
Yeah.
I mean, he pardoned a few people. But that stuff never getting implemented, and then, I mean, they're going to basically probably reinstate the war on drugs, reinstate, you know, things like prison quotas and, like, all these things that had just kind of barely been tweaked to start going the other way are going to get doubled down on, I think, in the next year.
Okay.
And so I think you'll have a...
prisons is an interesting issue. We have to keep an eye on the prisons, but I don't think it will not have the kind of prominence on the radar that, like, education will have, but it will definitely have a similar effect.
Yeah.
Right? That's usually how the prison issue works. Because it's hard to make a case against prisons out loud in public.
Yeah,
right? Because then you sound like you're into crime. And that's how you lose on prisons all the time, right?
Yeah, I think that's going to get scary. I think criminal justice, the whole criminal justice system is going to get pretty scary.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to roll with education followed by prisons as the black issues for the coming year.
You think the economy's going to crash in the next year?
I don't know.
I feel like however you feel about neoliberalism... you know, the Democratic Party post-Clinton at least understands how neoliberalism works. So they're able to build a functional neoliberal economy. You know what I mean? And then the Republicans come and piggyback off that and make a bubble out of it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And I feel like that's what's happening now, tax cuts. And
sure, sure.
So I think they're building the bubble right now. I'm not enough of an economist to be able to say, like, I'm not an economist at all. So I don't know if, like, if it's going to pop or when it's going to pop. But I think they already proved that you can't spend that shit forever.
Right.
So I think right at this point it's inevitability, but I don't know if it'll happen in a year or not.
Yeah.
It seems like everything they do, though, like, the rate of destruction is picking up.
Definitely.
So I don't think it'll be 7 years like it was with Bush. Like, right. I think it'll be... I think it'll be sooner rather than later.
Yeah, these guys are too greedy, man. Like, the tax cuts are a real red flag on that note.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, oh, really?
Dude, if you look at the tax, like, this tax bill, and you look at exit polls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do those exit polls in all these different ways. I swear to God, it's like they took a CNN exit poll.
Yeah.
And they picked, like, the five groups that Hillary won, like, the most overwhelmingly. And they wrote a tax code to punish those groups.
Yeah.
Graduate students. I mean, it's like right down the line.
Yeah.
It's like, it's how they wrote the taxes.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy, man.
Yeah.
And nobody will say it. You know, in 10 years, some historian will say it. I don't know, man. You think he'll be impeached in a year?
You mean, like, will he be out of a job?
Yeah. Will Pence be president in a year?
Well, here's the question, right? The only thing left in the chamber is Russia. So the question is Russia enough to get him impeached? And I'm not convinced of it at this point. I'm not convinced. I don't think the public cares enough about Russia. Politicians care about Russia, but I don't know that we do. And as long as we don't care, then it ain't going to matter.
I think if Democratic voters had a little bit more tenacity, if we had our version of the Tea Party out there in Congress,
mm-hmm.
we would flip the House, and then when this investigation was finished, then, you know, I say we like I'm a card-carrying member, but you get what I'm saying?
Right.
They'd flip the House, and then when this was finished, they would move to impeach. But I think instead, I think the House will improve. And then they'll, like, use Russia as leverage to, like, get slightly bigger Pell Grants or something. You know what I mean? And they'll claim some huge victory and sing a song.
Yeah, I think we're stuck with him for 4 years minimum. But I don't think he'll get reelected.
You don't?
I don't. I mean, I really want that to be true. Like, I have to believe that in the amount of time that we have between now and then, that someone somewhere can become a viable enough candidate to compete against Donald Trump in 4 years of whatever the fuck he's been doing.
But at this point, like, by the time the next election comes,
yeah,
it'll be like an old, I don't know, like an old Pistons-Bulls basketball game. Okay. Where you have to beat the other team and the refs. You know what I mean? Yeah. Whoever runs in against him in 2020 is going to have to be able to win in a landslide.
Okay.
Because as a non-incumbent, he was able to slide in there losing by 3-something million votes.
Yes.
So as an incumbent who has no regard for the rule of law.
Right.
Who just took his voters' ethics commission and so-called dissolved it by making it part of Homeland Security. I mean, how many names are going to get scrubbed off of these voting rolls between now and then? You know what I mean?
I do.
So somebody's not going to, like, an old-fashioned, like, 52% to 48% might not be enough.
Mm.
Which is what people generally win by in landslide elections.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You might need, like, a 60%er in order to overcome whatever he's able to do to voting in the next few years.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know if we have a 60%er out there.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Unless Michelle Obama changes her mind. No.
Yeah.
Or Oprah. Oprah might change her. Nah, Oprah's too smart to do that. I was really upset when people started talking about Oprah running for president. That really upset me.
Why?
Because it's so ridiculous. Like, this is what our country has become. American Idol. We've become American. Literally become American Idol. Literally. our presidential race is more American Idol than the actual television show. It's the most apropos name for a presidential election if you have Oprah running in against Donald Trump. It's the American Idol election. Quite literally.
I think that's fair.
You know?
I think I could see some people wanting her to run because they're nihilistic at this point. No, hear me out. Hear me out.
I thought you were going to say scared.
No, well, yeah. Because they're like, I didn't realize people were this dumb. Yes. This is what would make me, like, if the Democrats can't put anybody good up against him
right.
in a couple of years, this is what would make me start saying Oprah should run. It's just kind of the acknowledgement, okay, I accept that Americans are idiots, so they need an actual celebrity at this point to beat this guy.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to have an actual celebrity run for president, who's the most qualified of them? And all I'm wanting in 3 years, if I go out and vote for Oprah, all I'm really wanting is somebody to buy me a good 4 years so that I can comfortably plan my escape from this country. And I'm not even fucking with you. Because I wasn't ready, dude. I wasn't ready. I'm so mad at myself. Because when Obama got elected, I lived in Salt Lake.
Yeah.
And I knew what was coming.
Mm.
Like.
Backlash, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I woke up. I was all, you know, excited, blah, 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 right? And then I woke up and I watched the news. And all these people were, like, so happy.
Mm.
And everybody was, like, people quoting Martin Luther King, talking about the mountaintop. And people were like, oh, is this a post-racial America? Oh, and like the Ansora's crying and shit. And I'm like, these people don't know what's coming.
Yeah.
Like, I was in the reddest state in America at the time. Like, I knew what was coming. And I turned to my wife, I said, we have 8 years to be ready to leave this country.
Mm.
But then I got all comfortable because he's up there singing Marvin Gaye and shit. And I wasn't ready, man. I wasn't ready. Yeah. So I would vote for Oprah so that she could buy me enough time to really get ready so that I can get the fuck out.
That's hilarious.
And that's a true story.
Well, I think we probably hit a wall at this point. we've created the Zuckerberg Winfrey platform. So I think we've probably hit a wall. So I think that's going to be the end of this show, man.
Fair enough.
Yeah. If you've made it this far, thank you for listening.
I assume this is going to be a parts 2, 3, and 4 type of thing.
I don't know. I don't think we can run everything at once, but maybe I'll cut out the part where I said I hate black comedians.
No way. You got to leave that in
so
there.
So I look good. So thanks for checking in. I don't know when we'll do another one of these. We just felt compelled to do it now, and we were both going a little, I think, mentally stir crazy.
Yeah.
And just had to get some stuff off our chest. So thank you so much for tuning in. I hope that it was worth your time. And this is where I would normally give you contact information, but trust me, I'm not checking any emails or anything. So don't bother. Just enjoy the show you got and. We'll see you on the flip side.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Now why you got the heart of a lion? Still ain't as hard as I am, but you're down on science. Lab coat with our craft, dope high with an end of supply. Willing to die for this mission of mine.